This portion of the show is brought to you by Crazy Country Boy Services. The weekly roundup starts now.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show Weekly Roundup. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome to the Weekly Roundup. Jeff Horovitz here. Olivia and Angela join me here because we missed some stuff on yesterday's program. I try not to do unhappy stuff on the end of the week. We were talking about traveling yesterday and happy stuff at the end of the show.
And
you're like, oh, I missed that. We didn't get time for the...
There's also a list of the most happy countries, so...
You have that too?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. We'll end with that, how about?
Okay.
Okay. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Got some interview extras here for you. And if you stick around long enough as well, we've got a business spotlight interview with Glenn Lease. Talk about how he kind of got started in the investment advisory sector. Is that what you call it? Investment advisors, I think. Plus some do's and don'ts when it comes to investing. I think some really good tips from Glenn Lease coming up. Stick around. Second hour of the show and towards the end of the podcast, you'll hear from Glenn Least. And like I said, I'd like hearing from you as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I'd like you also to take advantage of Zero Res's great special, Zero Res of Northern Arizona. That means zero residue. That means getting your carpets and your tile surfaces clean, your couches, your fabrics on your vehicles, things like that. Zero Res of Northern Arizona will take care of all that. Great special for July going on. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com and sign up for this $138. Normally it's three rooms of carpet cleaned. Now it's four rooms just for July, $138, four rooms of carpet cleaned. Plus another great special, 20% off fiber protectant. So check that out all at ZeroResNorthernArizona.com or give them a call at 928-378-8888. That's 928-378-8888. All right, unhappiness.
Yeah, so this is a couple weeks ago from U.S. News and World Report that global unhappiness levels in 2022 match all-time high.
Yeah, but they say that about the weather.
Yeah, I mean
we're in the midst of supposedly the hottest time ever in the history of the world right here.
And they've been doing this study for like 17 years or 18 years in a row now, something like that. And they go around in like 142 different countries. And they ask people, did you feel well rested? You know, did you smile a lot or did you feel pain the day before? You know, and just kind of gauge positive and negative emotions.
I feel pain from sitting here too long.
But so if they were to ask you, then you would say, yes, I felt physical pain.
Yeah, I'd say, yes, I feel physical pain. Stop being such a wimp.
I mean, no one will be surprised to hear that Afghanistan was the worst. Like 98% described their life as like suffering.
I would agree with that, but how do you even,
after the Taliban?
How do you even get in there to take a proper survey for a country that doesn't even have like a bridge or a road somewhere?
I'm sure there's a way.
I mean, are we just assuming? I mean, I'd be pretty unhappy there too.
98% described their life as so poor that they're suffering.
Yeah.
Okay. And then number two was Sierra Leone, which has jumped from, I don't know,
Sub-Saharan African country. Is that
And they're in. Yeah. They've got problems.
They always
going
have
on
civil
there.
Wars, yeah. And they've got. It's sad because a lot of these places have such, including Afghanistan, they are so wealthy. Like if you look at the deposits in the ground, what the potential is, and that's part of the reason why they're also constantly in a conflict zone, is because they're at a place where the world wants all that stuff, so they're constantly being trampled over. And then you get the two-bit dictators that rise up most of the time because they get all the foreign aid and all that crap. Countries support these losers, and the citizens lose out.
Yeah.
So you're alone
basically
in Afghanistan.
The top ones are all like in Africa somewhere. There's Iraq, Lebanon, and all the rest are like Congo, Uganda. You know, just it's that kind of area. Like you were saying, so it's not surprising.
You never hear anything about Iraq anymore.
Yeah,
You know, we had the green zone there. They created that huge area, and you know, obviously our involvement in Iraq. And it's like you don't even hear like once a year a news item out of what's going on in Iraq.
Yeah, no,
nothing.
No,
what's going on in Afghanistan? All the years that we spent there, and then obviously Biden's horrible withdrawal that happened,
and
where
worse
people
off
died.
Than
still
ever
people
now.
Over there. Isn't there still people stuck over
Probably.
There?
Probably.
And they're worse over. Worse off than ever before. After ever. All the expenditure of lives and treasure, and it's like
time,
and it's all back to the same, if not worse than it was when it even started.
Yeah.
So we never learn it. We never learn our lessons.
Right.
Never
learn anything. So what I found interesting though was the countries with the highest positive experiences.
U.S.
No, not even in the top 10.
I was kidding. I kind of suspected that.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to ask, well, at least maybe a lot of people living here, you would assume that we're at least in the running in the top 10. No, we're not even in the top 10.
What kind of happiness? What are we basing this off besides pain?
Well, like if you laughed, yes, you know, if you smiled and laughed and
okay, what if you have a bad memory? I can't even remember yesterday.
I mean, they have a series of questions. They can tell, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So, the countries that are the happiest, though, are like nearly every country in Central America.
Really?
Like every single one. Nicaragua, Guatemala.
Guatemala, isn't there?
Yes.
Don't I hear that everybody's leaving Guatemala and they're going through Mexico.
They want to come here.
They're coming here. Maybe the people that left are the happy people.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, everybody's gone. Yeah. I'm really happy now.
Maybe that's why they're happy. Well, Mexico is number two.
I mean, let's be honest. If a lot of people like just decided up and leave from some of the cities in America, you'd be like, whew, glad those people.
Right? I can smile again.
So the number one was Indonesia.
The people smashing windows in San Francisco would be like, oh, great, they're gone.
I think it's like a five-way tie for the top, for the first slot.
I'm sorry, say them again.
Indonesia, Mexico, Paraguay, Philippines, and Vietnam. And then all the rest are in Central America.
Paraguay or Europe? Which one?
Paraguay is in South America.
Is that there's Paraguay and Uruguay. Which one's like the lawless country? Uruguay. Paraguay. Paraguay, isn't Paraguay the one that's kind of like is it even really a country?
I don't really know.
You know, it's like that lawless. I've had on, what was his name? He lives in Uruguay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember his name now. Doug.
Doug Casey. Something? Doug Casey. He's been on the show a couple of times, and he's down there half the year in Uruguay, and then he's up in the U.S.
Well, Uruguay is not on the list. It's Paraguay.
Yeah, but Paraguay is like is like a lawless, like weird. Maybe that's why they're so happy. It's like this weird, like it's like you're surprised it's even a country. There's like barely a functioning government. Is Somalia on that list? Because they don't have very much of a government.
I'm just surprised. I can't really get over that every country in South America Central America, with the exception of Belize, is literally in the top 10 for happiest.
Yeah, Belize has, we've been to Belize, and if you go to Belize, you're going out to like San Pedro, out to the islands and things like that, because a lot of Belize is like lawless, I think, and they have huge problems. But even Mexico. Yeah, even with, you know, all we hear all the time is the cartels and the violence and the death.
Yeah, it sounds so awful.
But then again, when you get down into the country, is it the same, or are we talking about
the border?
We get such bad information from the media, because, you know, it's like saying, oh, there was this, it is really, really bad in New York, so all of the United States is bad.
Yeah,
and you're like in Arizona or Wyoming or something, it's like, it doesn't matter to me at all.
Yeah.
So do we get misrepresentation in saying this sarcastically?
Probably. I mean, the rest of Mexico is probably
Northern Mexico is maybe a hellhole, and then the rest of it's maybe.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that live down out like an hour or two outside of Mexico City. I think it's called Lake Chapelle or something like that, where there's like 50,000 Americans living in this
a lot
area.
Of expats
living in this area that's, I don't know, 6,000 or 7,000 feet up, something like that. And it's pretty much just like San Diego type climate all year round. And there's all these people living down there that have bought places. So they're probably pretty happy if they're just retired and not dealing with anything.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Well, okay, so along the lines with this, I was also reading that extreme pride in being American remains near record low.
Mm.
Not particularly surprising.
No, I could see that.
It's like 38% would say extreme pride.
Yeah. Interesting.
And
what kind of pride?
Just in being American, I guess.
Okay.
Not that kind of pride.
Oh, yeah, I was way off on that. Yeah. Did you see the guy that sang the American Idol star that sang the national anthem? He's like pretty new to this, and he was one of the winners, and he went out there and sang it, and he forgot to take his hat off while singing the national anthem. And It really goes to show you the character of this guy, though, because right after he's like, I can't believe I did that. And he went to Twitter and he's like apologizing and he's like, I was so nervous and I was thinking to myself, his uncle or his dad or some family member saying, don't forget, take off your hat. And he's like walking out there, take off your hat, take off your hat. That's what he's saying. And he's out there like doing videos, like apologizing multiple times. Yeah. And he's like, I can't believe I did it. You can tell he had pride in America and that he was so happy to do this, but he was so nervous to sing in front of tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's just like distraught over this. Yeah. And to that person, I said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you cared.
It wasn't intentional.
No, it wasn't intentional. And, you know, sometimes people will come down and there's probably people that are thinking, you didn't take his hat off. But as he comes out after, before really any kind of pressure hit, he was like, I can't believe I just did that. He was so upset about it. I mean, it's good to see that.
Maybe he shouldn't have had the hat on in the first place.
No, probably not, but it's probably
with it in his hand.
I know, but he was just like, he just lost. And I could see that. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine the pressure of having to go sing in front of tens of thousands of people and you're thinking, take hat off, do this, and sing good in front of everybody. So I say hats off to that guy for at least acknowledging that and being like, oops. You know, because people, I think we lose sight, and maybe that's part of our unhappiness. We're so willing to judge everybody so quickly, and then we're so unwilling to forgive.
Yeah.
In any instance.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why we're not extremely prideful of being an American. Like, why is that? 38% is all that would say they're extremely proud to be an American. Hmm. And there's other, you know, they had a very proud, and there was other
degrees of pridefulness,
or
whatever you want to say.
Yeah. And then there was a huge separation between the 38% that said, I'm proud to be an American, extremely proud. Like 60% of those, almost 2-to-1, were Republicans.
Interesting.
To Democrats.
Well, that says a lot right there. I think I think because there being many
people.
There
are also more Republicans in the older age bracket, too. So that could be because maybe at the younger age is the ones responding, they're not proud.
I'd say, though, that's especially if you're talking on the left, and so many people have been taught about how bad America is, how bad America is, and all the inequities and injustices. Yeah. So they're constantly berated with, there is no good. You know, so, I have no pride in anything.
Bad.
It's just nothing but bad.
Other side, if you're surrounded with people like that, I mean, they're not exactly to be proud of, like some of your fellow Americans.
And they're probably,
like what they're doing, like that's not exactly, that doesn't.
And they're probably pretty unhappy.
Proud.
Yeah, and they're probably pretty unhappy too all the time because all they see is the negative, and that it's such a bad country. It's and they're just pound this. It's everywhere you look, especially in the education system. It's showing that all the injustices that, and there are and have been injustices in this country, but this country has worked hard to correct that to a huge degree. But a lot of these people, look at the movement in, was it San Francisco or California, the reparations movement?
Yeah.
I mean, so you got these people out there saying we need reparations. We've got to have reparations. Or remember the recent court ruling by the Supreme Court about the, what was this last week on the affirmative action, the college admittance.
Right. Oh yeah.
So admitting people based on race rather than qualifications. And then you've got these people out there saying, who are proponents of affirmative action and stuff, saying, well, if you're a Black American, you can't get it. You can't make it without these. You can't. And I said this last week, that's such a disrespect to all the millions and millions and millions of Americans who have made it
who
in this country. And you're saying, oh, you can't make it. You're like, well, as so many millions of successful Black Americans, et cetera, who are out there like, well, I did make it.
Yeah,
and I didn't have to have that. I did good in school, or I worked hard, or I came up with a product or started a company. It's just a real disrespect. And so I think it's the general, what circles are you in?
Yeah, right.
If somebody's always saying it's bad,
then
it's bad.
How have you been raised? Yeah. Have you been told your entire life that, you know, you won't get into this college because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then they just believe that.
You can't
do it.
Yeah, because this reason and the other reason.
Yeah, so.
So I guess it's a matter of who you surround yourself with as well. Any other stats there? Did I?
No, that's about it. I just thought that the two stories kind of went hand in hand with, you know, kind of not even being in the top 10 as far as positive feelings on a daily basis. And then we're not even proud to be Americans either.
Well, some aren't. Yeah, we are. And
but
and I wouldn't mind.
I meant the majority. It's not even half.
Okay. And with as far as places to live, we've been to some of the places you mentioned that Central America that are like best places, mm-hmm. best places.
Yeah.
Costa Rica is a beautiful, I'd like to get to Panama actually, check that out. Costa Rica is a beautiful place. And I think if you have some money and you leave the U.S. and you have an income source, you have income, you have revenue, you have income coming in every month from whatever source, you're going to be pretty dang happy. And I know mm-hmm. they were polling like the citizens that live there mm-hmm. as well and all that. But if you didn't have money, would you want to live in one of those Central American countries, or would you be more happy in America where you can, you know, you can turn on the tap water, you can live a really good life, you can make it. Those countries, to a large degree, aren't places you would go to make your money, to be successful to begin with. I you know, I want to go start yeah. a business. I'm sure somebody could.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, entrepreneurial people that could go to Guatemala and do really good. But is that the place you'd say, oh, I want to go there to make it?
Well, it's right, where people but are going. I mean, maybe these people are just like, man, I love the simple life.
And yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay, I live day to day, you know, and I work for, you know, nickels or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, laying bricks or something. But this is
picking
my life
plantains.
And I love it, you yeah. know, and this is what I do. And I'm happy to be alive and I love where I live.
It was nice to get the plantains down there. Like
yeah,
fried.
Those are good.
Yeah, I think we were at a...
The fried one and the dried ones.
We're at a construction stop on a road one time, and there's yeah. They are pretty... Folks are pretty entrepreneurial down there, because when you have a construction zone here in the U.S., there's nobody walking around selling stuff, right? There, it's like, oh, road work's happening, and people show up.
Yeah, they just start coming off the side of the road.
They're
with
selling
their bags
dried
of plantains,
and it's like that. To me, some other countries do have such an entrepreneurial spirit that.
Yeah, I think we had drinks or something too, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like all of a sudden I'm eating plantains.
They're just walking down
the line
of cars.
And I'm like, hey, plantains are making me thirsty. And then drinks show up in the middle of the jungle. Right? Or the rainforest or whatever whatever the heck that was, right? And it's like, yeah, there they show up. And here it's like you got people on corners all over the place. It's like, give me change. It's like, I've seen some more people, like Bob Thorpe sent me a picture last week of someone in Flagstaff somewhere in a corner. He was like doing magic. Mm-hmm. I might give that person some money.
Yeah, we've seen
at least
that
they're
in
doing,
Mexico.
Yeah, in Mexico. Yeah. They're like riding unicycles around.
Yeah.
And here it's like
the like hula hoop trick.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever in the street, like when you stop for red light.
If you're just standing on, and I don't want my windshield washed with like who was talking about back in New York with urine or something. Oh no, it was somebody was talking about the Atlanta, the water boys thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they were doing it, but they're just forcing water bottles on you, right?
For $5.
Yeah. But I would rather have somebody actually doing something productive at this rather than just saying, give me
with
money.
The sign.
Give me money.
It's well, like, maybe they could sell water bottles, but then they'd probably get kicked out of there for having a business or something.
That's
right?
True.
The
you,
city
you,
wouldn't like that.
You can sit there
and
beg.
Be paying their tax.
You have a constitutional right to
do
that, but if you go into a corner and actually do something
and
productive.
And you try and sell something.
Or sell something, sell a newspaper or something, then it's bad. Then you gotta go.
Yeah. That's why people don't do it here.
Yeah, I got more to say about this in just a second, but hey, Gutter Helmet's been here with us on the show for 3 years now. This is a great system, the best gutter protection system out there. Gutter Helmet's not just a leaf filter or a screen though that clogs up and you know just piles up on there. Gutter Helmet's a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects the pine needles and the debris. Gutter Helmet's got the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty out there. Call Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. Like so many listeners have already done out there. So many of my neighbors have gotten this system as well. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. And if you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, you get a really great discount. 928-318-6555.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show Weekly Roundup.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Orbit Show Weekly Roundup.
To some degree, when you do go and travel foreign and you see people hustling, like we were just talking about selling the plantains, and just this business props up on the side of the road because of that's capitalism.
Right.
Yeah. You know, people are stopped here for a reason, so all of a sudden there's a market, so they make a market. And they start selling you plantains.
Yeah, because if you're sitting in the car waiting on the backhoe or whatever, you know, you might want a snack.
Yeah, you might.
You might need a drink.
And to me, that's capitalism. You're taking advantage of that situation, and there's no regulation that I'm aware of, or they don't enforce anything that, you have to go through all these hoops to sell your plantain. Yes, there's a traffic stop right there right now because construction's going on. Just fill out all this paperwork, and in 3 months, you'll be able to sell your plantains or whatever product right there, because you have to go through the government process. By then, the opportunity is gone. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, we lose that competitive edge. And if you look at the competitiveness, the competitive ratings, I know you were talking about the happiness and what was the other one? Patriotism. Mm-hmm. But if you look at competitiveness when it comes to business, a lot of nations actually come out higher than the U.S. because, and it might matter what state you live in as well. Some of the blue states in particular, you know, you've heard about the lemonade stands. You know, some poor little kids sets up on the corner and they're trying to sell lemonade. And next thing you know, the government's trying to shut them down.
Right.
What a shameful thing.
Yeah.
That person should be.
You can't sell your cookies because you don't have a food handler's license. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. The bureaucrat that enforces stuff like that, or comes up with the rules, the politicians that come up with the rules, there should be like a square where you publicly shame these people for this stuff, because you got kids that are actually being entrepreneurial, more so than many Americans, setting up a lemonade stand at a busy intersection, just like the plantain person in Costa Rica we were talking about. And you're going to put up a hindrance to that activity. Mm-hmm. How stupid is that?
I know.
I mean, how shameful is that? And there really should be, like I said, some kind of the public square where you have like 3 hours of humiliation on these people for doing that.
Yeah, you can pay for that. Someone can make a business.
And then somebody's like, and the kid's there selling lemonade as this person's getting publicly shamed. I'm not saying bring it back tarring and feathering, but
some of them that have shut down the lemonade stand have met some backlash on that.
Oh, I know they have, and they should, but nobody should ever shut down a kid's lemonade stand again in this country, because I want to know about it.
Yeah.
And I want to publicly shame that bureaucrat as much as possible, because that, and the politician that comes up with the rule or the regulation or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of public shaming. It might bring some sanity back to this country.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the social media bullying or anything. I'm talking about when the government official does something really stupid. Yeah. There's some countries like Japan and like Singapore where they have to apologize profusely if they do something really stupid.
Yeah.
When do our bureaucrats and politicians ever apologize profusely for stupid things? Never. Absolutely never. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Great time to head on out to beautiful Williams, Arizona, to Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Get a great steak at Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Enjoy the cool weather in Williams. I love going on out there. If you want to head on out in the morning and then do some activities, I think they've got the zip line, got some kind of slide.
So many activities.
Barrizona's out there. Head on out in the morning and try out Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Great breakfast from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. All throughout the week. Miss Kitty's Steakhouse right there in beautiful Williams, Arizona. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show Weekly Roundup. You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show Weekly Roundup. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk a little, give you a little extra here, a little interview extra here with Mark Howitz, who, by the way, will be hosting the show Monday. And my son and Owen and I are doing it, out doing something while the girls are on their trip to Iowa. So Mark Howitz with a brand new show for you on Monday. Hope you'll tune in at 4:06 on 97.1 FM, 107.9 FM in Prescott area, and, of course, streaming all the time at talkwithjeff.com. I want to talk about this hospital that's planned to go up in northern Arizona. There is also a petition out there. The people who turned in enough signatures, apparently, to get this on the ballot to change the zoning change that the city council, the Flagstaff City Council, rezone that property to allow the hospital. Well, there's a group out there that's pushing to disallow it and send it to the voters and take away that zoning change. So hit on that in just a second here with this interview extra with Mark Howitz. Don't forget to go on out to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff many years in a row, just north of downtown Flagstaff in the Basha Shopping Center. Great food, great wings, great tacos, great burgers, great meals. They've got their $4 menu all the time at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. We can get something like pozole, a cup of soup, pozole. Also great drink specials. We're talking great draft specials, great Mexican canned beer specials. Bottom line, you can get out of Sportsman's Bar and Grill without breaking a bank and going having some great food, hanging out with some great people, enjoying some great games that are on all their, 17 TVs that they've got up there. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff. All right, hospital talk here with Mark Howitt.
To Northern Arizona Healthcare, which owns Flagstaff Medical Center and pretty much almost everything else up here that's medical related, they want to open a new campus that is between Mountain Dell or University Heights, that area, and Fort Tut Hill on the west side of the highway. And it's a huge campus. It's not just a hospital. It's a whole, they're calling it a village.
And, it takes a village. It
takes a village.
It takes a village.
Long-term stay for families, hotels, restaurants, whatever, the whole thing. It's very controversial, to say the least.
To some.
To some.
Some people would be like, I want the best hospital. I mean, isn't this something new and better? You know, because the hospital's downtown, it's old. Are they going to have, like, everything here, and so you don't have to go to Phoenix for anything? Or, I mean, is that what they say?
So they say it's needed, that they can't really update the existing hospital to be what they need it to be.
Modern or...
Yeah, you know, you want rooms that are individual, a lot of individual rooms that are pressurized so that, you know, any germs get sucked out.
Like a plane.
Kind of like a plane.
Okay.
Planes have excellent filtration systems. So unlike planes where you can just update the plane, you can't apparently do that to hospitals. You got to just...
Well, they also said like maternity and things like that. there wasn't room. So we had our first two were born at Flagstaff Medical Center, the hospital on the hill up there. And I remember they had like this really bad like couch bed thing that the husband could sleep in.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. So they're saying that, hey, we're making kind of more family quarters so you can come in because, you know, typically you're in there a couple of days if they're not rushing you out.
No, I do remember that because we didn't have our baby there, but where we had our baby, my wife was in labor forever, and I just needed a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to go lay down on the couch. And I was glad that the place where we had the baby really had a good couch. Now, if FMC is going to do a really nice set of couches for the men at the new campus,
yeah,
let's do it. Let's get this new campus.
Yeah, I think that's worth it right there.
Right,
yeah, like a little lounge that you can go down to. And
smoking lounge.
Cigars. Smoking cigar lounge. And Mark, come on up. I need a drink here. It's really stressful. Bar. Yeah, I almost passed out. And, you know, when Owen was born, we actually wound up going down to Phoenix because the cost was so much. It was like half the price. And there was a point where the nurse or whoever looked over at me, I was like a little pale looking, and he's like, "You okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine." It's like, keep my legs not locked up or whatever, you know. It's just, woof. Anyway, okay, so they're talking about doing, well, they got approval from the Flagstaff City Council to rezone the land because the land was zoned a certain way, and they've cobbled together, I guess, multiple lots, et cetera, et cetera. So they had to rezone it for this particular use. This is where, in Arizona, we have a pretty strong property. We are a pretty strong property rights state that the governments can't come in and say, oh, you can't do that duplex now, even though it was zoned for duplex. They can't take that away. Well, they could take it away from you, but you have the right to go sue them.
Yeah.
Which
207,
is 207, statewide initiative.
Yep.
So we have pretty strong personal property rights protections in this state. But the only, the real big authority they do have, if you want to go in and change it and say, yeah, it was for multifamily, now I want to do a hospital, whatever, commercial use, yep, you have to go before the political body, in this case, the city council, and get a zoning change. Yeah. They got that. It was like 6-1, I think.
No, it was 6-0. One person had to abstain because they were involved in some way with the hospital. Okay. So, yes, they did. And there's a group called...
I have it here. Flagstaff Community First.
That sounds about
and
right.
I have talked to them. They said they would come on after they, this was before they got the signatures turned in to get this on the ballot. So apparently on July 6th or so, they put the signatures into the city hall to get this on the ballot for the citizens of Flagstaff to decide if this should be rezoned.
Right. So they turn in signatures, and you always have to turn in some extra ones, but they have lots of extras.
Okay.
So it should be approved. The city clerk will look through them and say, hey, this looks pretty good. She'll send a sample to the county. They'll say, hey, this looks pretty good. And now the item will go to the ballot.
If it makes it through that process where somebody doesn't challenge it, this is such a high ticket item, somebody could just challenge it. You take them to court. And that's it's an interesting process. I've seen this process happen before. You can do it with candidates. You can do it with initiatives. When Mark turns in, let's say, signatures, let's say he gets on the ballot to be mayor of Flagstaff, which would be good. That'd be cool. So Mayor Howitt, he's running. But he went around he just made up signatures and stuff and et cetera, et cetera. You go challenge each line. So line 10, Jeff Orvitz doesn't exist, whatever. They're not at this address, not registered. You have to go to court and highlight each one that you're pointing out. And it can be an expensive and lengthy process. But the folks that are doing the hospital, they definitely have those. They have those resources if it's close, but you sounds like they've got a lot extra.
They've got, I think they needed roughly 2,600 and they've got, according to the paper, something like 4,800.
So they're probably good.
They should be good, unless they really messed up.
Okay, so they take it to the ballot. The citizens of Flagstaff vote on denying the zoning change, essentially?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So the city council had made a decision, but this is actually one of the neat things in Arizona. We can say, hey, we don't like what our elected leaders did. Let's send it to the voters and see what they think.
It's a citizen initiative, yeah.
And overturn what the council did. They could deny the zoning change.
They could.
Yep.
What do you think? Flagstaff is a strange place when it comes to zoning.
Remember Walmart? Yeah. I do remember Walmart, and I do remember how it was written on the ballot that was thoroughly confusing people.
Yeah. It passed. Ultimately, it wound up passing after a lot of controversy.
Yeah. So basically, it was written on the ballot basically saying, shall Flagstaff have a big box zoning? And if you voted yes, that meant you were voting for Walmart. You weren't voting for a zoning to deny it. And a lot of people got confused.
Okay.
It was a really tricky thing.
Yeah, so, but then again, we have that East Side Walmart that's not very big, to be quite honest with you. And it wasn't the end of the world. Just like the heat's not going to be the end of the world. Yeah. And sometimes these... In fact, I'm going to diverge, but finish
up. So once the city clerk and the county approve this going on to the ballot, what you're going to see is two things. You're going to see the hospital's legal team fight to have certain wording on the ballot that'll confuse the voters. And the other thing you're going to see is a
legal teams on both sides. I would have fair, Mark.
But to be fair, yes. But they have the money. The FCF group does not have the money to do that, right?
True.
And it's going to also come down to a media campaign, advertising, radio ads, all this stuff.
Yes.
To tell people how great it
is. I like how he pointed out radio ads.
You know, people are going to be advertising on every station, everywhere they can, social media saying why they need the hospital, selling their case.
Of course.
Which is fair, except that, you know, they've got a huge amount of resources as far as funds, whereas a small group like this that's doing the Citizens Initiative does not have those funds.
Yeah, but I've seen these grassroots efforts really take off. The wage issue, for example. There's a lot of money out against that.
Yep.
That went to the ballot two times in Flagstaff and won both times, to my disappointment.
No, but nobody out there is really going to vote themselves a pay cut. Right? That's the obvious thing.
Yeah.
No one making minimum wage is going to say, hey, lower it, please.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Let me share an observation with you here in just a second. But before I do that, if I was selling the home in the Flagstaff area right now, I'd call Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Kelly's got a full team of dedicated professionals that with you every step of the way from listing to close. In the time it takes to listen to what I'm talking about right here, you could have gone on to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com right now without talking to an agent. Get your home valuation sent to you instantly. I think that's really important so you know where you stand if you're thinking about selling. And I talked to somebody at one of the big box stores today who's thinking about selling. They're like, I think it's time for me to move on and maybe cash out and go to the Midwest or something and live like a king on 40 acres for my profits from Flagstaff. You're thinking about selling a home. You're thinking about buying a home in Flagstaff and the surrounding areas. Call Kelly Broaddus. That's at 888-446-5602. Or you can Google Kelly Broaddus, Broaddus, or go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. So after the show yesterday, after I said, hey, don't worry, it's going to rain soon, and then right as we're leaving, Bruce and I headed downtown to Namarco's Pizza, the location right downtown, and we parked. There's downtown Flagstaff has paid parking like many cities do nowadays. By the way, I went up to Jerome like a week. I think I told you I was going up there.
Yeah.
And we saw Indiana Jones and Prescott. We went through Jerome. Jerome's all paid parking now. They used to have that lot where you can get in there. Now, basically, every city's paid parking. So there's a street, though, right down from Namarco's Pizza. There's a church.
Don't tell what it is.
It's That's true. No. There's no free parking in Arizona, and there's no creeks in northern Arizona or that's water. Right. And it's really hot up here right now.
It's miserable.
And it's not cloudy at all. Anyway, I went down this street that allegedly had free parking. Because I'm so cheap and I don't pay it a dollar or two or whatever it costs.
Like a dollar an hour. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, but it's so annoying.
It is annoying.
I got to remember the license plate, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, in that neighborhood, they're right like two blocks away. There's the one of those student housing projects, those like five-story ones, those big ones. And this relates to what I was saying about Walmart a minute ago. You know, you'll survive. Life's going to go on once this is all done. When I was on the city council, I had people that invited me to their house two blocks away. And they were like, this is going to destroy this neighborhood. It is the end. Gentrification, all these little homes, all gone, blah, blah, blah. So I'm walking around the neighborhood last night, and I'm thinking back to this. It's all the same. Nothing's changed. There's this big student housing project that you can barely see from there, believe it or not.
Yep.
And because there's trees and everything, all the little houses are still there. I walked by the person's house that invited me into the house years ago to tell me that the end of the world was coming because of this project. It was fine. So I think people get really worked up over these projects, and perhaps people are getting worked up over this hospital project too. Will your life really change that much if this gets built or not built? Is it really that big in the grand scheme of things? I mean, kudos to these people if they want to put it on the ballot. That's fine. Yeah. But I don't know. I just tend to get less worked up as time goes by over these things that it's probably not going to be the end of the world. The Walmart wasn't the end of the world. The student housing project, not the end of the world. I think people need to calm down a little bit.
No, and I'm really undecided about the hospital. I've got mixed feelings. We would be living close to it, which in theory would raise our property values.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, and I'm kind of excited that they're talking about putting a bike lane on 89A.
Okay.
Because right now there's no shoulder to ride on, and it's super dangerous. So there's things I like, there's things I don't like. I'm undecided, and if it went to the ballot, I'd still be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still 50-50. Should I change my residency to Yavapai County, to be honest with you? Because I don't know. It's just, is it, it just doesn't seem like, it's a private, I'll hold my judgment. I want to get the group on, and I'll be fair to them. They can come on, but it is my understanding, private money, private development. It's private lot, right? Is there city lots there? I mean, it's a rezone, but...
Yeah, so what they did is the hospital went in and bought a whole collection of different properties out there.
Okay.
And there's probably a number of different zonings. What I did notice is one guy didn't sell. So there's one guy in the middle.
He's always that guy. Did Trump go through that?
He was
the
smart guy, 80s, honestly, because his property's gone way up in value. But, it's their property now. You can't tell them they can do nothing with it. You know, they could just own a bunch of houses on 2-acre lots.
I don't know what it was zoned. Could it be hotels? Could it be, or was it zoned residential?
A lot of it's zoned residential.
Okay, so do you want a bunch of $1 million, 1-acre lots?
Yeah.
Do you want that? I mean, or do you want the thing on Butler? I'm driving by Butler, and you see those houses there? Those little salt box looking things.
Yeah.
Little
tiny homes. Yeah.
Like a box got plopped on there. You know, I was like, okay.
$200,000 box from what I hear. But
No, I'm not even talking about tiny. I'm talking Butler after Little America. They've got that big thing in the forest but towards the dog pound there. And it's just like a little salt shaker house.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-story just box. It's like it plopped out of the sky and just boom, box.
Yeah.
Probably $400,000 or $500,000.
You know, I just got back from Dallas. I've said that before. But one thing, I drove around the old neighborhoods where I used to live. And I had a 1927 house, and I had gone on Google Maps to look at it one day from Flagstaff, and it was gone, replaced by a big We call them McMansions, right? You got a tiny little lot, but it's so valuable that people just tear down the house and put the new mansion on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I drove through the neighborhood, and about 50% of the houses had been torn down and replaced with these new tiny mansions. No big deal, right? Except that the property values of all the homes go up. And in Dallas, the property tax is so high that you might have been living in your little old house, and you might still be living in your little old house, but your property tax is now doubled, tripled, quadrupled.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's forcing you out of your home. Because I was talking to my niece there. She has just a very modest, you know, average house. They're paying $1,000 a month in tax.
$1,000 a month.
A month. For a very
I think
average,
you mentioned that last week. Yeah,
you know, a house that would look like Boulder Point University.
It's like a mortgage. It's probably, if she's been in there 10, 20 years, she's paying that for the mortgage and then the property taxes. Yeah, that's like New Jersey. They get their pound of flesh one way or the other. Yeah.
I hate property taxes.
I think it's the most regressive thing you can do.
It could. You get fired from your job. Well, the government still wants their tax, and if you don't pay it, they take your house.
Tax lien. Yeah, you can get a tax lien, and then it can get taken.
Yep, that's ridiculous. You know, income tax is the closest thing to fair. You know,
I hate that too.
I hate it too, but at least
I like sales tax.
You've made some money. I don't even like sales tax because, again, you've lost your job, and you're still being forced to pay tax when you're not even making money.
Look, if we could just find a way to reasonably tax the populace, everybody like 10% in some method. I don't know what that method is. We could argue about that, but 10% seems fair.
Yes.
Not 40, 50% or even more of your income going. And I mentioned this last week or the other day that, you know, when they figure inflation rates, they don't even figure the cost of government, which is half of all expenditures in this country at this point, half of GDP.
Yep.
Right? It's like if we could shrink the size of government, which is a fleeting thing at this point, this isn't an oddity that just, I don't know if this will happen again in our lifetimes, shrinking the size of government. The Republicans say they're going to do it. They never do it. The Democrats will never do it.
Jeff, I heard I'm going to promote somebody else's podcast real quick. But Douglas Wilson, Blog and May Blog, great podcast. Yesterday he was talking about this very thing, July 10th. And he said, what you've got to go in and do is not just talk about it, but find the smallest thing in the government and get rid of it.
Yeah, just it's gone.
And take an action. And you just it's kind of like getting rid of your debts. Like just knock out a small one.
They don't want to do it.
Just, you know, you don't have to go for the EPA first. Go for the little thing.
Yeah, go for we're going to get rid of the EPA and the Department of Education. If I hear one more Republican say that to me.
I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, I'd love you to see it. We're going to abolish the IRS. Okay.
We'll
see if that happens anytime there soon. And that's coming from the Republicans been saying it for decade after decade. All right.
I'd be happy with a hiring freeze.
Well, I tried that again back to city council days. It was just right after the great financial. I said, I just want to shrink the size of this government. Oh, no, we're going to lose employees. Those people have jobs. I said, you know what? When they quit, don't hire. Don't fill that position. Oh, no, we can't do that.
Why?
Don't do it through attrition. As people retire, don't rehire them.
Exactly.
It's about power. They want the departments big.
Yep,
they want that big budget.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show Weekly Roundup.
All right, that's it for this hour. Stick around, though. Hour two of the Weekly Roundup, or if you're listening to the podcast, just in a couple minutes, you're going to hear from Glenn Leist with a business spotlight. He's going to talk about how he got started in the investment advisory business, but also do's and don'ts of investing. A lot of you got a lot of questions out there, so I think you'll enjoy this and find it really informative. Plus more in the Weekly Roundup. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a few minutes. This portion of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless. Get more info by going to justwirelessaz.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show Weekly Roundup. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back to another hour of the Weekly Roundup. Jeff Horovitz here. Comments always welcome. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send those in. I have two things for you this hour. A new interview with Glenn Leist of WT Wealth Management. This one, a business spotlight, talking about, first of all, how he got into the investment advisory business, but then also getting into the do's and don'ts when it comes to investing. I think a lot of good information, a lot of good advice coming up here. So stick around for Glenn Leist in just a little bit. Before that, we will get to an interview extra with Zach Elman on media misinformation. So listen, because we've got a lot of good information about the media, misinformation out there, and much more. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, always remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first. They will take care of you. They'll make sure that that chip gets filled and it doesn't spread out to the rest of your windshield. Also can replace your windshield if you need that. And, hey, when you get a new windshield from Diamond Auto Glass, the great thing is you get the chip service. The chip repair service is included as part of the warranty, which means you can stop by anytime on 4th Street at their location in Flagstaff and get that thing filled and fixed for free. It takes like 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first. You know why? Because you call your insurance company, they're going to route you through one of the big chain glass companies, because they're the ones that pick up the phone. They get this sweetheart deal going on. So call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. Go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Interview extra here with Zach Ellman. People sometimes have a hard time when I meet people out there, and I think they think I'm glued to the events all the time. But when I get away from here, I try to disconnect in a pretty big way. So I sometimes miss things, and I don't tend to read too deep into a lot of things like what's going on in France. So I did a cursory look of what's going on. I watched the video. Apparently this young man, I think he was 17, was pulled over for traffic citation or something like that. And I can't remember exactly. And then they come up to his car and some altercation happens. Something's going on. The guy starts driving away and the cop reaches in and shoots him as he's driving away. Of course, it's on video. The cop.
Excessive.
Excessive. Yeah, the cop's already being charged with a homicide, I believe. This is already running through their judicial sure. process is. As has been the case here in America, in most of the cases, is these people are going to go to jail. And sometimes there's mitigating situations. You don't know what's going on. You don't see every angle. So you don't know everything that's going on when we all get to judge these things in the 15-second clip that someone took on their iPhone, you know, holding the phone up like this from 50 yards away, to be fair. But the country came unglued.
Yeah.
And they're burning. They're burning things down. Well,
the next Frenchman you run into, ask him this question. You always are so high and mighty bringing up the point that you invented democracy. Why don't you let it run its course? Why are you freaking out? But that, I mean, that's besides the point. That's a lesson to be learned, I think, in a lot of these situations. Let the process happen. We just jump to these conclusions. Yeah. Once again,
it's everywhere in the world.
It's the media grabbing at straws, taking stuff, wobbling into a ball, and advancing their bot. Paid and sold for agenda from the politicians. That's how the world works now. No fair media, except for you, Jeff, obviously, and the great people over at 97.1. I'm done. Like, I turn on network news, and this is the first thing you see. And the report itself looks like it has been pasted together by a 13-year-old high school kid. No facts. no facts. Yeah. All opinion.
And parroted information, most
parroted
of the time.
AP information, the laziest reporting you can do. Journalism is dead in this country. Wake up.
Well, in that country, apparently, too. Around the world.
Well,
like I said, they showed now there are things burning down there, from what I can see, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
From thousands of buildings have been torched, businesses, homes, vehicles. The numbers are truly astounding.
It's crazy.
I think the numbers we're getting up to in dollar figures or euro figures or whatever, the whole Black Lives Matter riots and looting that happened here in America. But that was over like a whole summer period. That was a long period. Yeah. This has exploded. It's spilled over to a couple other European countries, but not to the same extent from what I'm reading. But people are on edge around the world. This just goes to show you that what's happened here is happening all over. Now, in fairness, France has a long history of riots and protesting. And, I mean, you can go back to the storming of the Bastille. And, I mean, this has been going on for... this has gone on for a long time. But France has a heck of a problem with... Now, this person happened to be of North African descent, I think Algeria, perhaps Morocco.
Remember, probably Morocco,
something like that.
Algerian, yep.
France has a huge problem, as do many European countries, and America is developing this problem. of immigrants not assimilating
sure.
into the society.
Sure.
And they're living in areas that are, it's like a separate country within a country.
Yep.
And it's not a good thing. And I don't want that to happen here either. It is.
And it's because of failed state governments and monarchies across the globe that love taking all of their problems and shoving it upon the world powers or the people that do things in a democratic or, more importantly, republic state. Ours is with Mexico and South America. Hey, take all your people that we don't want and are an economic drain on us and let's send them to the United States. They'll take care of it. The taxpayer will take care of it. That's unfair to us. And I get the whole open border idea. Okay. I always just make the point. I can't go to Mexico and just live and hang out.
Open borders don't work when you have a social welfare state though, because people are going to flock to it.
Morocco, Algeria, their immigration problem is almost identical, if not worse, to what we have going on here. Mm-hmm. It's the same basic construct. You have dictators or monarchies or failed government, basically just communists that get rid of their undesirables in a different way. Cause you have CNN now. They'd be there with a camera, so you can't just shoot them in the head in a ditch. You have to send them away.
It used to be they would round people up. Yeah. There was different stuff going on. So now they push them to the next border.
Let's send them up to Siberia for the rest of their life so they can either starve or freeze to death. That's how it used to be done. Now it's let's just displace them and funnel them into a different society that will have a liberal attitude, take them in at the burden of their own population, and it's fine. There's a problem there.
And as a lot of people are pushing up through, especially sub-Saharan Africa, because of it's just jacked up. You've got dictatorships. You've got so many problems down there. So they're looking, hey, go to Morocco, go to Egypt, go to...
We have talked about this, relocating across the globe. Yeah. If you could go somewhere, where would you go?
Right? Not France.
Well, no. But I mean, just any place on the planet. You pick it, put a pin in it on a map. 100% guaranteed. You would not be able to go and just walk in and just stay forever and receive benefits. Nowhere else on the planet. Name it. Nowhere. Not even France allows that to the extent the United States does.
Yeah.
But this is a global immigrant. This is all planned by the powers that be that think that they control the planet. This has been going on for 10 years. There's a great video on YouTube. I forget his name. I'll have to look it up for you so we can put it on maybe the website. But he does a demonstration with marbles in glass jars as far as this lie that we're told that everybody needs a better chance and a better opportunity. So they all need to immigrate to these wonderful countries because their own country doesn't help. Well, here's the big problem. When you take the best and brightest from these societies and ship them off to one place, what happens to the place they left?
Yeah, brain drain.
Exactly.
Talent you just, drain.
You're even
everything.
Worse off. You don't have nobody with ideas, no work. It's just, it's...
Well, that's why so many people in this country, we're all here fighting. There's plenty of people who say, hey, I'm moving out of the country. I'm giving up my citizenship. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Well, good luck with that. I mean, you can buy citizenship in many countries.
You can literally offset the cost to their government and their, more importantly, their citizenry by a fee.
Yeah.
Do we charge that? No, you have to go through the legal process to do it.
But I'm always a little skeptical of buying $500,000, you're buying a citizenship.
I know a few people that have done it in Costa Rica, and they freaking love it. They're just you got to do this. And I'm like,
it gets a little costly.
We're coming up on 20 years of just wireless here, so we'll see what happens. I'm not getting any younger, Jeff.
I hear you. I think about that all the time. Like, rental properties, shows, and this and that. But, we do it because we love it.
I love flag too much. I couldn't do it. I just know that I'd be miserable if
I left. It's worth fighting for.
It is.
You know, on the day after Independence Day, it was worth fighting for then. It's been worth fighting for centuries. And it continues to be. This continues to be the place to go to. Those folks that are going up through Africa and North Africa and trying to get into France or wherever, if you gave them a choice, they'd probably prefer to come on over here.
Of course.
If they could get over. And some do. Some actually go through South America and go all the way up through.
This is where this conversation always gets just out of hand. It's not practical. Where if somebody comes to this country, my girlfriend in high school's dad crossed the border illegally when he was 9 years old by himself.
Hmm.
The man started a painting company in Oakland and out in Alameda. He is more successful than he could have ever dreamed. He is the American dream. I have no problem with that story. And I don't think 99.9% of Americans do. But when you come here and you commit crimes and you start gangs or you do nefarious things, you're not welcome. But no one is. No one should be. That they think that it's a racial thing. And it's like, it's a rule of law thing. Why are you such an idiot? Yeah. We're not even talking about that.
Or if you come here and expect to be taken care of.
You could be from Antarctica with the penguins and come here illegally and you murder somebody. You're a murderer. We're not just going to ship you back to the penguins and be like, we're gonna forget about it. But that's what we're doing sometimes with immigration right now from our southern border. It's insane.
It's a huge problem. And you know, I want to hit on one more thing here on this one. I had this in my notes that this separation that's happening in America is segregating. So we were talking about how France has segregation when it comes to mostly Muslim immigrants that are coming in. And I actually broke down in outside of Paris once in a rental car in neighborhood.
That was lovely.
The tourist police actually came and helped us out. They were there, like, I'll give them credit. They actually have tourist police. They showed up. The car broke like 10 miles or kilometer equivalent, whatever, after we had rented it. It was like a new car. And we were broken down for a few minutes, like under an overpass where the lane was going down. There's a little shoulder, and the tourist police came, and they were the nicest people. We got a ride in the squad car.
Whoa.
They didn't take us to the police. We wound up going to the airport back. They brought us back. So it was kind of cool that they had that, and that they were because the French often get the short end of it, as you've heard over the years.
And oh, yeah.
My experience was very, very, very nice when we were over there. But anyway, side story. People are segregating in the U.S. I see more and more reports. The numbers are astounding of conservatives moving to the red states, liberals moving to the blue states. There is a mass self-segregation going on in this country right now. Good thing or bad thing?
Horrible thing. One of the greatest things that socialist Marxists love to try and do is tribalize society, because it's easier to deal with factions and more importantly, play them off each other, make them villains for their own purposes, expel them. It's all in the playbook. Read Marx. If you haven't, if you're somebody out there searching, listening to this show because you want a different perspective, I hope you are. That's why Jeff does this, in my opinion. I can feel it. That's why he wants to start and ignite conversations on a better level. Read this trash, because it's trash. It's the worst ever printed document is Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, in my opinion, in the world. 65 million deaths to show for it. So,
at least.
Yeah, and then that's being very, very nice about the number. These people are bad, and it's happening in America. They're doing it. The media is doing it. It's taking shape and form every month. I see more and more. So I've been trying to sound the alarm for the last 10 years about this, that they're here and they want to take the country over. It's not a joke. It's not some concocted conspiracy theory from the right or the conservatives. The proof's in the pudding. We got cocaine in the White House and a bunch of Marxists. Merry 4th of July,
America. The cocaine thing is unreal, and they're trying to dim the sun. On the segregation thing, as far as conservatives, conservatives and liberals, part of me is like, I get it, because you just get so fed up with it, and you just want to be around people that
are
kind of same philosophical leanings and this and that, but then it doesn't challenge anything anymore, and then the next road when you're divided like
this
that?
This is like switching churches. Oh, there's a group or the pastor, we're just going to go find a new church. You got to sometimes hold your ground. I won't move from Flagstaff unless I am forced. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with probably a lot of people's views politically in this town necessarily. I think you and I are kind of in the minority of that. But
I'd say, yeah.
I think that we can all get along with different ideas on how to handle things. Just, we got to stop with the extremes.
Yeah.
We got to just, yeah, it's been trending, a problem now for 25 years.
Trending
just,
towards that, and the data is showing that. But things hit a critical mass sometimes and change.
And you can't go back. You can't roll the clock back. It's at the precipice, and you're done.
All right, Rob, you've got a couple of cool things going on out there at Timberline Firearms and Training. July, a great July special.
Celebrating our independence with two big specials at Timberline Firearms. First one, you can shoot for as long as you like. No more one-hour range limit. So
24 hours.
Well, there's always fine print in our normal operating hours on our normal days that we're open on the day of the purchase.
Yeah, okay.
You can shoot for as long as you like, and we encourage people to practice and be good, safe, responsible firearms owners. And then we've got safes with Liberty Safe. We got a big delivery of Liberty Safes in just last week. A large variety available for you to select from. And if you bring in cash, you save 3% automatically.
Okay.
Not to mention that you're only paying county sales tax instead of Flagstaff.
I still got a gift card. I got to get out.
Please
there.
Do. Come on out.
And you do those gift cards too. So if people are looking like present for anything coming up for a loved one or whoever, or me.
A great way to make sure your loved one gets something they like, get them a card so they can come out and pick it out themselves.
Okay, cool. So July range time, when you go in there that same day, stay as long as you want and get your practice in.
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Sounds good. Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. If you're thinking about buying a home, don't waste your time being misled by teaser interest rates on the internet. The first thing you should do is call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. As Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, Nova Home Loans offers local decision making like a bank with better access to more programs like a broker. That saves you time, effort, and money. Kim's going to show you how much cash you really need and what price range you actually qualify for. With Kim's pre-approval letter in hand, sellers know you're serious. It's almost like having cash in hand. For purchase or refinance, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. And by the way, if you mention a Jeff Horvitz show, you can get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458 or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show Weekly Roundup.
All right, welcome back. Got my interview coming up here with Glenn Least, Business Spotlight interview, so stick around in just a few minutes, we'll get to that. I do want to remind you, I think it'll be fun on Monday. I'm going to be having fun because I'll be doing some things with my son, Owen. Mark Howitt is going to fill in. I haven't done this in a long time. Mark has filled in for me in the past, but Mark has spent a tremendous amount of time on the show in the past couple of years since then. So he's going to do the show for you on Monday, and I don't know what he's got planned, but I'm sure it'll be great. So hope you'll tune in, and if you want to shoot him an email right now or over the weekend, any questions, I'll forward them over to Mark, and he can answer them on the show Monday, starting at the normal time, 4:06 on 97.1 FM. And then remember, you can tune in the Prescott area on 107.9 FM, and it's streaming all the time at talkwithjeff.com. But anyway, email me, and I'll get that over to Mark Howitt, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group, brokered by EXP, is the person that you know I would be calling if I was selling a home in Flagstaff right now. Many of you have done that. And the thing that has really come back to me is, first of all, her experience. You've let me know many times that she's brought a bunch of experience and transparency. Kelly Broadus and her team have been able to market these homes in Flagstaff in what's been a little bit of a challenging market for a while. It's kind of coming back right now, though, and kind of heating up once again in that kind of median price range. The higher end prices of these homes are still just selling like hotcakes. We're talking like million plus. But you know the values of some of these homes in the Flagstaff area. You want someone with this huge asset of yours who has the experience to sell this. I know because I used to be a realtor. I know because I'm a real estate investment person. That's what my family's done for a very long time. So I know it takes the right person to get you through this whole process. And I'm confident in Kelly Broadus, and I hope you'll give her a shot, give her a call, and try her out. I think you're going to be very happy with the end result, which would be selling your house for top dollar. 888-446-5602 if you want to call Kelly Broadus. Also, you can go to northernarizonafinehomes.com, and in like 60 seconds, just click on home valuation and you get the valuation of your home. That's northernarizonafinehomes.com, northernarizonafinehomes.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show Weekly Roundup.
Waiting until a recession becomes official would be very late to make any constructive changes to your portfolio. Jeff Horovitz here, and Glenn Least and his team at WT Wealth Management know that predictions about what the markets might do are often wrong. That's why it's better to prepare than to predict. Glenn can help you strategically position your portfolio based on where you are in your financial life. Making emotional decisions is not a good strategy. It leads to selling at the wrong time and waiting too long to get back in when turnarounds happen. Glenn and his team help you build a portfolio that fits you like a glove with an investment strategy that targets capturing upside potential while mitigating risk during difficult markets. Glenn's a fiduciary who shares your values. Call Glenn Least for a complimentary portfolio review at 928-225-2474. Glenn and his team have an investment strategy to give you confidence no matter what curveball the market might throw. Call Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show Business Spotlight, brought to you by Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. All right, welcome back. Jeff Horovitz here. Another business spotlight. I like doing these at the end of every week. And Glenn Least from WT Wealth Management is here with me. Glenn, welcome back to the program. How are you doing?
Good, good.
I wanted to pick your brain on a few things, especially the do's and don'ts when it comes to investing and things like that. Because I think, you know, on the other day on the program, we were talking about interest rates and things like that. And you're optimistic right now on the way that things are going, especially with inflation finally coming down a little bit. So I thought it was a good time to hit kind of do's and don'ts and experience you've seen out there. But I wanted to remind listeners, because you've shared a lot of stories over the years, Glenn, how did you get into this?
Into the investment
industry. Yeah, into the investment advisory. Is that the right terminology, investment advisory industry?
Yeah, so before I did this, I was actually a paramedic for a number of years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I worked in the ER for a little bit, worked in a substance abuse detox facility for a while, and really was just looking for a change. I realized that was going to be a hard career to provide for my family and be gone a lot. So one of my family friends, his dad had been in the industry for years, and you know, I knew them quite well, would go up to the lake with them, and you know, I'd actually had asked him multiple times, like, hey, can I come in and just learn about investing? I'll shred papers, I'll mop floors, I just want to learn. And finally, in about 2013, he was like, okay, let's talk more. And so he actually you know, put in the word for me, the good word for his employer, which they hired me on his recommendation. So I got started in 2013, you know, kind of that's how I got into it. My friend's dad helped kind of pave the way. And then it's been, so it's almost 10 years now. The first like 5 years of the industry are extremely difficult. In fact, I think there's a 90% washout rate in the first 3 years, meaning, you know, of 10 people that get into the industry, only one is left after 3 years. And it's even more after like 5 or 6 years. So to be at 10 years, I've kind of beat the odds, if you will. But there's a lot of situations where, in times where my wife and I just struggled tremendously, and it was not easy and not for the faint of heart. So anytime, you know, if people think like, oh, that business owner, that person's got it made, you're like, yeah, but you don't know how much they sacrificed to get there.
Look at them. They're going on vacation or this or that, or it's like, but they didn't see the 20, 30 years before
not
that
going on vacation,
or 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone so long. My wife and I were not doing any vacations because we were just, you know, we had to, you know, do that to get the business up and going. And now it's like, okay, let's hopefully buy back some of that time that we sacrificed. But yeah, so been in the industry for about 10 years. Really started just with the insurance side of things in the first 2 years, life insurance and disability. And then after that, I graduated and started doing the investment side of things, so investment advisory, which is the bulk of my business, 99% of what I do.
A couple points here, Glenn, and we're talking with Glenn Least. I think, first of all, a lot of people don't want to mop the floors or, like you said, shred the papers or pick up the trash or whatever to start off with. There's so many people nowadays that just want to start. I got this degree, or I did this, or I have this experience, so I'm starting right at the top. And it's, they miss so many opportunities because they don't get in there and they don't.
Sure.
And then you went to someone and said, hey, I want to, a lot of times you almost have to pester people who are in the know or in an industry and say, I want to learn. And people like that want to actually be mentors and bring people up.
Yeah. So you, that,
that terminology that I might describe that as is a grit, right? Is that just pure will to like persevere and do what it takes to, you know, get to your end goal and to sacrifice and put in hard work. And there's not a lot of people that are willing to do that. And that's fine. This, you know, this industry is not right for everyone. It's a great setup for me, but, you know, there's nothing in life comes easy. Nothing worth having at least comes easy in life. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. All right. I think it's a good time to talk because you're feeling optimistic right now. You don't have a crystal ball, but a little more optimistic than maybe a few months ago when it comes to the market because of interest rates and potential interest rates. Maybe stop raising, maybe not even lowering, but just stop raising at this point.
Yeah. So the Federal Reserve is the one that controls the interest rates, and they look at a lot of the CPI numbers to determine whether or not they're going to continue raising rates. And, you know, it came out this week, CPI numbers are, you know, much lower than expected, which is good news, because previously, before those numbers came out, the Federal Reserve signaled they're going to do a hawkish pause. What does that mean, right? To me, that means they're probably going to raise it one more time, a 0.25%. So I think there's the probability is pretty high that they'll do one more interest rate rise in July of 0.25%, and then after that, they'll be done. And usually, when they're done raising interest rates, they finish the tightening cycle, if you will, the markets usually do quite well the next 12 to 24 months, you know, actually extremely well as far as the equity market. So I think the worst is really behind us, as far as that goes. And then the other data points that are really, optimistic is the unemployment numbers are really solid. You know, everyone's working, which is good. And then everyone's spending still. Like the consumer spending numbers have really just continued to stay strong. We had a little bit of a blip during the pandemic, but they're right on track to where they were before. So, 70% of our economy is on the consumer anyways.
It's just shocking to think of that there's still money out there because so many people seem like they're tapped out, but it's amazing that the resiliency sometimes I'm just like, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop, but somehow it kind of all keeps going. Well, I think it's a good time to look at do's and don'ts because you talk about that a lot, Glenn. And one thing is taking this time right now, I guess, to kind of set up your goals, have those financial goals. Cause I think a lot of people, they don't sit that they might know like every sporting event going on or every actor or every, you know, how many tweets someone sent out, but sitting down and actually taking the time to set up your financial goals.
Yeah, no, that's not something that everyone is going to be in the high priority for the most entertaining thing, for sure. And a lot of times people dread, you know, kind of doing that because maybe they know in the back of their mind they're not where they want to be and they have to be honest with themselves. But yeah, definitely taking the time to map out your goals and, you know, start putting some pen to the, you know, pen to the paper, ink to the paper. Like you have to actually start, you have to paint a picture, you know, paint a target, you know, otherwise you're just aiming, you know, aimlessly. So that's where a lot of the work that I do comes into play is I help, you know, flush out some of those goals and really brainstorm together what's important. And realistically, you know, I've been doing this for so long that most people have similar goals. You know, there's not that many, you know, goals that I, you know, are super unique, you know, hey, I want to save for retirement. I want to, you know, help my kids and my grandkids. I don't want to work forever. I want to live a good lifestyle. I want to maybe give to charity or, you know, XYZ. So yeah, a lot of people's goals are similar, but helping them define that and then map out a game plan to get there, I think is extremely crucial.
When you get people coming in, are they honest with themselves? Do you sometimes see a pattern of what is that? You know, is this really where you're going to be out for retirement or investment goals?
So there's unfortunately more than I'd like of people not necessarily being honest with themselves. And usually it's in regards to their amount of risk that they can take. You know, people will come in and say, oh, I'm super aggressive. I love taking risk. But really what they mean is they only want risk on the upside, not on the downside. And that's not how investing works. I mean, you have to ride the entire ride on the roller coaster. You can't just get off halfway. So I think that's where people are maybe not honest with themselves or honest with me is really how much they can withstand. And so part of my job is to really educate them, help understand the dynamics of the market, how investing works. And then make sure that their level of risk is tied in, you know, is meeting, you know, what their comfort level is. Some people, when they go it alone, you know, they may be much more aggressive than they want to be because they just don't understand, or they're maybe too conservative. And so that's where someone like me, like, okay, so the work that we do, we get paid for, right? You could go do the, you know, online financial planning for free, or investment, you know, pick a bunch of investment funds for free. There's always something cheaper, but you pay a premium, or you pay a cost for the service, because you see the value in what we do. And they've actually done studies that show the average advisor will add an additional 4% of performance on top of your portfolio every year.
Which compounded is huge.
Yeah, yeah. And so my thought is like, yeah, you're going to be paying a cost, but you're still going to be net ahead, and you're going to have a whole lot less stress, and you're going to have a advocate in your corner who's truly an expert. So I think some people are not honest with themselves in that aspect too, to say, hey, you know what, there's a lot of value in what they do, and this should be one area where I'm willing to pay, you know, and it's a good thing that I am paying, because I'm getting good quality stuff.
Yeah, and the free, you get what you pay for sometimes when it's free.
Nothing's free, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's free in this world. When you talk about diversifying, when someone says, oh, I want to, there's some people who invest, and you think of the big, you think of like Warren Buffett and people like that. They will go out and just pick 10 different things, and they're very laser focused.
Yeah.
But then I think even someone like Warren Buffett has said, if you don't know what you're doing, you better diversify. We're talking about people who are going out and picking, they're trying to pick randomly a stock or something. Warren Buffett spends an enormous amount of time doing that. Mm-hmm. A planner is going to spend time doing stuff like that. You spend time doing stuff, but you still recommend diversifying, because sometimes you get it wrong. If you put it all in one, all the eggs in one basket, I guess, yep, is what I'm trying to say.
People got it wrong in Enron.
They thought that was the thing. Yeah.
So, and especially those that worked there. So their paycheck was tied to Enron, and they're buying stock, which, you know, it both collapsed. So
their retirement account was Enron stock.
Yeah. So diversification is really a great way to spread your risk across multiple different investments or asset classes. And so not just different companies, but what size companies, where are they domiciled? Maybe real estate, maybe commodities. You know, when I think of diversification, it's not just stocks. It's a whole myriad of different investments, and a lot of them, you know, work independently of each other. They work differently. So I heard this quote one time, diversification means there's always one thing in your portfolio that you don't like. Let that set in. There's always one asset class that you're like, oh, I just don't like that one. It's underperforming. Okay. But yet, when everything flips around, that's the one that does well. So
I see.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So what about timing? Because right now we've had that kind of that bad period, and you had people that sat out. You have now things have been kind of cranking again. Before that, I wouldn't have guessed during COVID when things went insane. That would have been the time when I was like, dump, because the world is about to end. Yeah. Maybe the world did end and we went through like a wormhole or something too. Glenn, I don't know. Everything did change.
Yeah.
But anyway, timing it, because I would have picked, hey, sell everything at this point with COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's a psychological game.
Yeah. So they talk about the importance of investing is we should be more focused on time in the market. Like, how long am I actually invested for? My money's working for me, as opposed to timing of the market. Because frankly, if I could time the market, I wouldn't have any clients. I would just sit there at my desk all day and trade stocks and make $1 million a year. But that's not how it works. And so I always recommend my clients don't try and time the market, because almost every time I've seen clients try and do that, they're worse off than they were if they just left it in there, you know, because they get out, you know, when the market's going down, and then it hits, you know, a bottom, and they don't get back in then, and then it starts to come up, and they actually get back in at a higher price than when they left. And you're like, well, what was the point of that? And all the stress, the psychological stress. So I tell my clients, like, look, over, you know, the next 2 to 3 years, we have a better idea what the market's going to do. Over the next 2 to 3 months or 2 to 3 weeks, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of just a coin toss. So
like you said, you'd be billionaire if you could time it that good. And there are people that can do that. They sit there all day and they look at it. They're, you know, there's some very specialized people that are, you know, have big hedge funds, perhaps. I don't know. No, you disagree.
One of the founding members of our company was, you know, worked with hedge funds for years. So we do have some background information on that, but that's a topic for another show.
Let's save that one for another time. Yeah. We've got more do's and don'ts here, but we're just about out of time. Glenn, I always appreciate it. I hope things turn out really good here. I know you're more optimistic now than you were just even a few weeks ago, a few months ago.
Yep.
So that's a good sign. And despite, I'm shocked at how resilient to be honest with you, the U.S. economy actually is, despite the insanity that we see all around us.
The guy that actually hired me into this industry, he had been doing this for like 30, 40 years, and he actually said the one thing that always shocked him in his entire career was just how resilient the U.S. economy can be. You know, because exactly like you're saying, like, how could we recover and how can we be so resilient? I think never underestimate the power of the U.S. economy, because it's very robust and you can go through quite a bit.
All right, Glenn. Appreciate it. Talk with you soon.
All right. Hey, Jeff.
Waiting until a recession becomes official would be very late to make any constructive changes to your portfolio. Jeff Horvitz here, and Glenn Least and his team at WT Wealth Management know that predictions about what the markets might do are often wrong. That's why it's better to prepare than to predict. Glenn can help you strategically position your portfolio based on where you are in your financial life. Making emotional decisions is not a good strategy. It leads to selling at the wrong time and waiting too long to get back in when turnarounds happen. Glenn and his team help you build a portfolio that fits you like a glove, with an investment strategy that targets capturing upside potential while mitigating risk during difficult markets. Glenn's a fiduciary who shares your values. Call Glenn Least for a complimentary portfolio review at 928-225-2474. Glenn and his team have an investment strategy to give you confidence no matter what curveball the market might throw. Call Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. This portion of the show is brought to you by Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Carpet cleaning, tile cleaning, fabric cleaning. They even do your vehicles. They even do house cleaning. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show Weekly Roundup. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back. Just about out for the weekend. And if you do call, you can leave your comments. Obviously, we're going to get those on next week. You can leave those messages anytime, and I always appreciate that. The plan is Monday, Mark Howitt's going to be filling in for me. He'll be hosting the show, guest hosting, and I don't know what he's got planned, but I hope you'll tune in and join him, and maybe send him an email over the weekend. I'll try to forward those on to him. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com, and go easy on him. It's not easy running the board and doing the whole operation, but he's been doing this for a long time with me, so appreciate him stepping in. While I try to an overnight hiking trip planned with my son, but we're kind of just watching the weather. It's going to be hot, but I think we'll be good because there's a lot of water involved where we're going. So I'll tell you all about it next week. My plan is to be back on Tuesday. Unless it goes a little long, then I'll call Mark and say, hey, Mark, can you come on in one more day? I do have a lot of guests scheduled. Isabel is now doing our scheduling, and she's been doing a great job of getting people lined up. Coconino County Sheriff Jim Driscoll is going to be with us here coming up on a future show this month. Former State Representative Walt Blackman. We'll also hear from Congressman Andy Biggs. I think we got Andy Biggs scheduled for next Wednesday. During the second hour of the program is the plan as of right now. So we're working on lots of folks. If there's anyone you'd like to hear from and get a, you know, have us get on the show, put Isabel to work, and I'll have her schedule some guests, please go ahead and send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. You're looking for something to do this weekend, you can head on out to Williams, that's a good one. Head on out there and enjoy some of the cool Northern Arizona weather. Williams has got a lot of great things like Barrizona, and then they've got the zip line there. Just walking around Old Town, downtown Williams on Route 66 is a lot of fun. When you're done, head on over or start. How about this? Start maybe like a Saturday morning. Start at Miss Kitty's Steakhouse for breakfast. They've got breakfast from starting at 7 a.m. And then, or if you're going to do it the reverse, come over later and then get a nice steak, get a nice dinner at Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. It's not just steak that they have there. They have great menu of great food. Former Mayor of Williams, John Moore, does a great job there. So Miss Kitty's Steakhouse on Old Route 66. Go check that out and have a great time there. All right, that's it for today. Like I said, I'll be back. My plan is to be back Tuesday. Mark Howitt's with you on Monday. And Hope you all have a great time out there. I won't say something like you keep getting those warnings. Drink lots of water. Enjoy the outside. It is going to be warm, though, so keep that in mind. Good weekend to do swimming and water-type things during this heat burst that we're having. So get on out there. Have fun. Be safe. We'll see you soon. Take care.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. Hi, this is Jeff Horvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity.